From the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, this is the Taxi Link.
Setting aside the legal challenges associated with a PSP serving in the capacity that requires...
Is that a shot across our bow, Mr. Davis?
Excuse me?
Setting aside any legal... Is that a shot across our bow?
I've been advised there are questions whether a PSP can act in the capacity to collect. So it is a concern.
The DC Taxi Cab Commission held a hearing Wednesday on the modern taxi system, which appears to be little more than a revised version of last year's failed push to install one company's credit card readers and screens in the back of every cab. We'll get driver responses to the hearing, including from Michelle Chame, who testified Wednesday and will be joining us in studio.
During the July 2012 final council rulemaking, council member Tommy Wells introduced an amendment regarding the privacy of both the public and the operator. This amendment was accepted without exception and unanimously voted by the council, even though this amendment is not included in court in the Taxi Cab Amendment Act of 2012, we believe it is still part of and remains a law.
We'll also hear from two Taxi Cab Commission members, including longtime driver and advocate Stanley Tapscott.
I think the cab drivers are really going to get hurt with it. It's going to cost them more money with the smart meters, the dome lights, and all these things that's coming in. It's going to put most cab drivers out of business. It's going to put me out of business. I cannot afford to buy a car every 5 years.
And we'll speak with Commissioner Cyril Crocker about his background, why he joined the Taxi Cab Commission, what he thinks of drivers.
I have a lot of respect for the drivers in the city. I mean, it's not an easy living, and I'm a commercial realtor, so I'm an independent businessman, too. I know what it's like to be an independent businessman.
This is the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Wednesday at the Reeves Center at 14th and U Streets Northwest, it was standing room only as drivers packed the DC Taxi Cab Commission hearing on the so-called modern taxi system. The proposed system appears to be little more than a revised version of last year's failed push to install one company's credit card readers and screens in the back of every cab. While the district's $35 million contract with Verifone was overthrown by the D.C. Contract Appeals Board because of irregularities in the procurement process, the commission is moving forward with a similar effort. Among those testifying Wednesday was Jesse Davis with Creative Mobile Technologies. CMT brought the successful lawsuit to overturn the district's $35 million smart meter contract with Verifone. Now CMT is attempting to secure the contract to install the modern taxi system, and the company is concerned that the penalties against drivers won't be severe enough to prevent them from using alternative payment service providers like the Square, which have lower transaction fees. Here's an exchange between Jesse Davis and DC Taxi Chair Ron Linton from Wednesday's hearing.
If a driver is going to get charged, let's just take the lower number, 4.5% by a transaction done by the MTS in his car, or pull out his Square, which is only going to charge him 2.75%, he's going to use his Square.
Cannot under these regulations, he can't. All the transactions have to go through the PSP.
But they're not strong enough as far as penalties and directions that are to prohibit it.
No, I think they are.
And so,
in his testimony before the commission, CMT's Jesse Davis further clarified what's at stake for drivers if the modern taxi system is implemented. Davis called for drivers who use alternative credit card payment options like the Square to have their modern taxi system removed and possibly their license suspended or revoked.
A recommendation. DCTC should add the following provisions at section 409.10 of the proposed rulemaking. No taxi cab company, independent owner, or taxi cab operator should use any device or service for processing of digital payments other than the approved MTS provided by the PSP for which the taxi cab owner has contracted. Violation of this provision will be grounds for immediate removal of the MTSs in the company's owner's or operator's vehicle or vehicles, and suspension or revocation of the taxi cab owner or operator's license.
That was CMT's Jesse Davis testifying at Wednesday's hearing. In an interesting exchange, Taxi Chair Ron Linton interrupted Davis's testimony and demanded to know if CMT was firing a shot across our bow and threatening to sue the commission. Linton is attempting to require payment service providers, or PSPs, to collect half of the soon-to-be-implemented 50-cent surcharge from drivers, even for non-credit card trips, and then transmit those funds to the district.
Setting aside the legal challenges associated with a PSP serving in the capacity that requires...
Is that a shot across our bow, Mr. Davis?
Excuse me?
Setting aside any legal... Is that a shot across our bow?
I've been advised there are questions whether a PSP can act in the capacity to collect. So it is a concern.
That was CMT's Jesse Davis and Taxi Chair Ron Litton at Wednesday's hearing of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission. Directly following the hearing, I spoke with Taxi Cab Commission member Stanley Tapscott, who's a longtime driver and advocate. Tapscott said implementing the modern taxi system could put taxi drivers like him out of business and give yet another unfair advantage to sedans or black cars, which are largely unregulated and even allowed to operate like taxis in the district.
I think the cab drivers are really going to get hurt with it. It's going to cost them more money with the smart meters, the dome lights, and all these things that's coming in. It's going to put most cab drivers out of business. It's going to put me out of business. I cannot afford to buy a car every 5 years. I only work part-time. So all of this is going to put a lot of cab drivers out of business.
And we were speaking earlier, you mentioned how the smart meters are required for taxis but not others.
Yes, from what I understand, the smart meters are not going to have any effect on the limousines and the black car. They're almost free to do whatever they want to and charge whatever they want to, where a taxi cab driver can only charge what is the regulations.
And yet now the council has stepped in to say that Uber can act like a taxi and these sedans can act like taxis, but they're not regulated like them.
Well, you know, I have to take my hat off to the chairman. When Uber first came in here, he tried to stop him coming in here and wrote a lot of tickets. But at a hearing that I heard that Councilman Evans and Councilman Shea wouldn't let that go and criticized the chairman quite a bit, and they endorsed Uber to come in here and pick up fares. Mm. And there's no regulation, very little regulation on them.
Mm. How do you feel about that?
I feel it's hurting the cab drivers. And, you know, I really feel that the hotels has got a lot to do with this. They want number one service at the hotels, and they should have number one service, but cabs can provide it also.
That was D.C. Taxi Cab Commission member and longtime driver Stanley Tapscott. Among those who testified before Tapscott and the other commissioners at Wednesday's hearing was Hymanat Biziwayihu, board member of the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers. Last night, as the rain beat down on the roof of his cab, Hymanat discussed the importance of drivers showing up in large numbers like they did this past week, and he called on drivers to attend Monday's upcoming Taxi Commission oversight hearing before the D.C. Council.
First of all, I would like to thank those drivers who showed up for this past Wednesday hearing, the Taxi Cab Commission hearing on Chapter 6, 4, and 8, or on the modern taxi meter system. It really caught the commissioners, including the chairman, by surprise, the huge presence of the drivers on that hearing. And that's very, very, very important. And if we show up like in this massive number on these hearings, I mean, it will definitely put a pressure on these lawmakers or Taxi Cab Commission commissioners in the decisions that they are making. So I encourage again and urge the drivers to show up on these meetings. These hearings is very, very important. It has an impact. So with that, I would like to inform the drivers that another very, very important hearing. This is unlike the other hearings at the city, DC City Council in front of the chairperson for the environment, public works and transportation. This is an oversight hearing. As you know, the tax Meriche is a chairperson who is oversighting the Tax Cap Commission performance in general. So it's very, very, very important. This hearing is very important. And drivers who are listening to this this show has to inform the other member drivers or friends and family members, family member drivers, to show up at this hearing. Showing up again in this hearing in a massive number will put a pressure on Meriche to really to follow up with our testimonies, our comments that we submitted on to the Taxi Cab Commission. So please show up in a massive number like you did last Wednesday. Again, I'd like to thank you those drivers who showed up at the last Wednesday hearing on 14th and U. Thank you very much.
That was Haimanot Bizuayihu, board member of the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers. As Haimanot mentioned, Monday, the D.C. Council's Committee on the Transportation and the Environment, chaired by Ward 3 Council member Mary Che, is scheduled to hold an oversight hearing of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission at 11 a.m. at the John A. Wilson Building at 1350 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. Monday morning, while D.C. cab drivers gather inside the Wilson Building, Alexandria drivers plan on protesting outside their own city hall ahead of a scheduled vote Tuesday evening on mandating acceptance of credit cards. While many Alexandria drivers support the concept, they have concerns about how the mandate will be implemented. Aurora Vasquez is co-director of Tenants and Workers United, a grassroots group that's helped organize cab drivers in Alexandria and Arlington. Shortly before the show, I asked Aurora about the upcoming protest.
Tenants and Workers United is partnering with Alexandria cab drivers to reform the Alexandria taxi cab code so that it's more equitable for taxi cab drivers. And as part of that effort, this Monday, April 22nd, Alexandria cab drivers will convene on City Hall between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. to call on the City Council to take some active steps to reform the taxi cab ordinance according to the ideas taxi cab drivers and Tenants and Workers United set forth in a March proposal. So we expect that the drivers will come out and be very frank and call on the city, the public, to support the idea that cab drivers are entitled to economic justice and deserve a clear shot at making livable earnings in light of the fact that they provide an incredibly important transportation service to the public.
And this is ahead of a vote.
That's right. So on April 23rd, which is a Tuesday, City Council will meet and they will consider a number of things, including changes to the ordinance, well, a change to the ordinance that will make credit card acceptance mandatory. So as part of the Monday public action, cab drivers will touch on that issue as well. And the cab drivers that we at Tenants and Workers partner with are wholly supportive of the idea of transitioning the city of Alexandria to mandatory credit card acceptance for fares of any amount. However, we want to be very sure that that transition to credit card acceptance is respectful of the fact that cab drivers are independent contractors. And through that lens, we firmly believe that cab drivers should be allowed to select the credit card processing vendor of choice, so long as that vendor and the device cab drivers use to process credit cards meets certain security standards. So what we would like is for City Council to be very clear about what those standards ought to be, similar to what they do with meters. You know, they set out standards for meters, and then they let others go about picking the meter. We want a similar approach to credit card acceptance and credit card devices so that every cab driver can fully exercise his rights as an independent contractor and be able to bring certain tools of the trade to the business.
That was Tenants and Workers United Co-Executive Director Aurora Vasquez. Previously, Ms. Vasquez worked with drivers in Prince George's County and elsewhere to organize and fight for greater financial independence for drivers. And as she mentioned, Monday morning, Alexandria drivers are scheduled to hold a protest outside City Hall at 301 King Street in Old Town Alexandria. The protest takes place ahead of a scheduled vote of the Alexandria City Council Tuesday evening on mandating credit card acceptance. The fight for economic independence for drivers is not a new one. That's what Paul Baja told me this week at the gas station at 15th and U. Baja, who's been driving a cab since 1979, described how back in the day the district used to mess with police, firefighters, and taxi cab drivers. But after police and firefighters unionized, it's only taxi drivers that get messed with.
Well, see, the police, they wouldn't get the union together. The fire department got their union together. The ones who didn't have a system to get their union together was the taxi drivers. So, see, they don't mess with the fire department. They don't mess with the police. Who they mess with? Taxi drivers. No union. Over 7,000 drivers ain't got no voice nowhere. Among myself, yeah. But for us on a mass, no voice. We are dead. That,
What happens in the police? They all see themselves as police officers first and foremost. They don't break down amongst, you know, I'm African American police, I'm white police, I'm all different ethnicities. It's just police.
Yeah, it's just police. They ain't hooked up in the color, no skin. They hooked up in one thing, union. Union have no color. And they are one, working like a team of one. And you mess with one of them, you mess with all of them. So don't nobody mess with them. City Hall ain't gonna mess with the police department or the fire department, but they sure gonna mess with the taxi drivers.
That was veteran driver Paul Baja. Those are some of the taxi headlines. This is the Taxi Link. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tony Norman, who's chair of D.C. Advisory Neighborhood Commission 1B, which includes parts of U Street, 9th Street, and Georgia Avenue. Welcome, Tony Norman.
Glad to be here.
We're also joined in studio by taxi leader Michelle Chame, board member of the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers. Welcome, Michelle Chame.
Thank you.
Tony, let's begin with you, your comments, with any opening thoughts you have, and your comments. We are holding this show just following a very interesting hearing on the so-called modern taxi system, which is an awful lot like the taxi smart meter system of just some months back, which was a major $35 million contract that was signed with Verifone that was overturned because of contracting irregularities, and partly because the Taxi Cab Commission rushes things through. And we're going to be playing clips from the hearing. In one of those hearings, Litton clearly states that sometimes it's better to, I'm paraphrasing, but move quickly than to really measure things carefully. So your comments on this modern taxi system and the importance of Monday's upcoming hearing, which is an oversight hearing before the D.C. Council.
Well, first of all, listening to Litton's comments on this hearing that just recently took place on Friday is disturbing. Because you can see that's the reason they're moving too quickly and not getting advice and deliberating from all of the parties involved in these regulations. I mean, that's one of the reasons why the Verifone contract was terminated and the court system had trouble with the process, because they're moving too quickly without deliberating on what they're doing. If you listen to Litton, its comments are very disturbing. It's like they're trying to rush these regulations through without truly getting input from the taxi cab drivers or even people affected in the taxi cab industry. For instance, if you listen to what he said at this hearing that took place Friday, he told one of the witnesses about whether you're shooting over the, is that a shot over the bow? It clearly shows that he hasn't touched base with that particular industry or the taxi cab drivers. I mean, when they hold these hearings, it's like they've decided on what the regulation is, and they're moving forward. And then you can just come and comment just as a matter of public record, but they're not taking in consideration the taxi cab drivers and the affected people in these industries. You can see that they have a regulation that he's ready to railroad through without even consulting the affected parties, the government agencies, and how this is going to impact the entire industry. It clearly shows you a preset agenda that is not thought out, that is not deliberated upon. You would think he'd discuss this with taxi cab drivers and the industry, and you would think they would get comments first before they come up with set final regulations. But in this particular instance, just like in every other instance, the regulation is set and the train is leaving, and it's like the taxi cab drivers and people running up behind the train. And that's the way this commission and chairman operates.
Does it remind you of the Verifone contract?
Yes, that's why the contract was overturned. And I think a lot of these regulations, if the taxi cab drivers get organized, can be overturned because a lot of these things have not been thought out. And this hearing is coming up Monday. Some of this stuff should be brought up to Chairman Che and the city council. That's the purpose of the oversight hearings, is to review every agency. This is the opportunity to criticize the agency, what they're doing, particularly when I heard Litton say that he's requiring every witness to have a written testimony in advance in order to be able to testify. This is clearly questionable actions. Many cab drivers are not in a position to prepare written testimony to do that in advance. And even the city council doesn't require that or bar witness from testifying. So clearly this is an opportunity for the taxi cab drivers to criticize the commission, to criticize the chairman at this hearing coming up. That's the oversight hearing this Monday.
Michelle Chame, welcome. Any opening thoughts that you care to share, we'd like to hear. And can you also, we played in the opening your comments regarding, you testified this past Wednesday before the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission, and we played just a clip of that regarding something that was voted on, and that is concerns a privacy amendment that Tommy Wells introduced, and you raised this issue before before the commission, and yet it's not in the final bill. But any final thoughts you have, and talk about your testimony before the commission.
Well, we have a great concern on that piece of amendment. On July 10, 2012, Council Member Tommy Wells inserted an amendment which was accepted without exception and unanimously voted upon. However, this piece of amendment was not included in the final act. And I have seen the one which is signed on August 2nd by the mayor and the council woman Mary Che. This amendment is not included. This is our great concern. It should be part of the law. It should be amended. And the principal objective of the amendment was our concern, the concern we have on our own privacy and the privacy of the public. I don't know why this amendment is excluded, but we still remain vigilant, and we will see what happens.
Well, last summer's omnibus taxi bill passed after amendments were made to it, including one regarding data privacy for passengers and drivers. It's the very point that Michelle raised before the commission and here tonight. And the privacy amendment, which passed unanimously, was introduced by Ward 6 Councilmember Tommy Wells. We turn now to that introduction.
I'd like to propose an amendment that I hope Councilmember Che will take as friendly. I understand that many taxi drivers have concerns about privacy related to GPS systems. They're concerned about their own privacy and that of their customers. However, I'm also advised that we may be able to overcome these concerns by making the data anonymous. Real-time information on taxi location availability has the potential to be invaluable to customers, particularly if the universe of creative phone app developers have access to such data. I'd like to amend the bill to require that the Taxi Cab Commission provide an assessment to the Council in 60 days of the effective date of this act regarding the feasibility of making data collected from taxi GPS system publicly available and anonymous in an anonymous format for the purpose of developing software tools that may be useful to taxi customers.
That was Councilmember Tommy Wells. Despite the unanimous vote on Wells' amendment, Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che argues that the privacy amendment doesn't actually apply to taxis, even though it was passed specifically for that purpose. Che chairs the Committee on Transportation and the Environment, which has oversight of the taxi cab industry. At the Taxi Commission's oversight hearing in February, Che said it was folklore that the privacy bill applied to taxis, and she instead insisted that it was only intended for online services like Uber.
Let me tell you what Tommy Wells' amendment was actually about. Tommy Wells introduced an amendment with respect to the online services like Uber, that instead of, it had nothing to do with this. His amendment, which we did adopt, was simply to say that they, that service, had a report by census tract and not otherwise. So I don't know where you're getting this folklore about that, but that's what that was about.
So that was Mary Che's committee before, comments before, at the last oversight hearing, the Taxi Cab Commission. Michelle, do you want to comment quickly, and Tony, before we move on to another issue, but this again on this privacy measure, which you heard discussed, and that you hear Mary Che saying something very different than what was said when the bill was amended.
Well, the bill was amended during the amendment, the final voting of the Amendment Act, and it is specifically concerned with the Taxi Cab Improvement Amendment Act of 2012. It doesn't have anything to do with the online bookings or any digital dispatching systems. And I don't know where this could be a folklore. We strongly dispute that, and we will prove it.
Tony Norman?
I mean, the record is clear that Councilmember Wells introduced this amendment, and they had discussions and debate on it, and it's on the record. You can pull the record of the city council. So I don't see where the dispute is. Mary Che making all these inconsistent statements saying that it's myth. I mean, this is one of the reasons that they're having this oversight hearing, and this is a point that need to be brought out at the hearing. You can go down and pull a public record on these particular statements, because this is absurd that a council member is denying what actually took place in a public deliberative body, that you can pull the records and show that she is not correct on that.
And now, so since the privacy measures are kind of, it's not clear what their status is, Ron Linton, the taxi chair, is stepping in to fill the void. At Wednesday's hearing, DC Taxi Chair Ron Linton said implementation of a consistent structure for data collection will be left up to the commission and implemented after the fact by administrative action. Linton said after the modern taxi systems are in place, that all will be worked out.
In terms of the consistent structure for the room for the data collection, mm-hmm. and that's going to be undertaken by administrative action after the systems are in place, that will all be worked out.
And the last clip I wanted to play, one more clip, is an exchange between Linton and Yellow Cab General Manager Roy Spooner. In it, Linton clarifies his willingness to emphasize speed over caution when implementing new rules and regulations.
Why do you feel that once a regulation is adopted, that it is not subject to any further modification in the ensuing year or so ahead?
I'm afraid that when you don't do the things up front that you need to do to look at all of the stuff before you implement it, fixing after you've done it, it's like vehicle age limits. Today we know that I couldn't put a 2007 Prius on the road because it's a few months off from the five-year thing, you know, the new five-year requirement. A seven-year-old Prius should not be taken off the road. It's a fuel-efficient vehicle. It meets all the standards. But after 7 years, I've got to take it off. We're trying to get that amended to at least 10 years. I'm afraid that once you get the ball rolling and other things start to hit, you don't get back to go fixing the things. So if we have an opportunity to fix it up front, before we roll it out, let's do as best we can.
Well, I'd say, Mr. Spooner, sometimes we don't agree, and neither you or I or the other members of the commission can foresee and understand everything that will work or not work. I think that's part of the human nature thing.
Absolutely.
But I certainly would not take the position that a regulation adopted today is now in concrete forever.
That was an exchange between DC Taxi Chair Ron Linton and Yellow Cab General Manager Roy Spooner. So can you respond to the privacy issue as well as to Linton's willingness to act now and ask questions later, which is the same approach that led to the $35 million taxi smart meter contract with Verifone being overturned? I mean, Tony Norman, you're ANC commissioner, an attorney, so you have a lot of experience with various deliberative processes. And here you have Linton just saying, look, you will act now and figure it out kind of as we go along.
Well, first of all, from a legal perspective, he's incorrect about this will be corrected in an administrative process. I mean, clearly, if you listen to the tape, that Councilmember Tommy Wells introduced an amendment that protect the privacy of drivers, and it was placed in legislation. Now, even though the Taxicab Commission can issue regulations, those regulations fall within the purview of whatever law stands. So you cannot have an administrative action that goes beyond what the law says. So he's incorrect in saying that this can be corrected through the administrative process, particularly if the law, and I think there is a law, Tommy Wells introduced an amendment that passed that prohibit the privacy use or the privacy issue. So you can't correct that or change that. That's inconsistent with the law with a regulation that comes through. And once again, it highlights the fact that they're rushing things, that they're not taking their time and going through the deliberative process. I mean, he's also incorrect when he says that when he was directing his comments to the Yellow Cab representative and said, what makes you think that the regulation is set forever? Well, that's true. A regulation is set forever unless the Taxicab Commission comes back and modify it or change it, then unless there's a deadline within the provision itself, then that regulation is forever. So he's incorrect on that point also. But it goes back once again that what you have going on here is a rush to judgment and a rush in all of these regulations. You begin to wonder who's making these rules. Clearly, the industry is not being consulted. The taxicab drivers are not being consulted. The council are not being consulted because the things he's doing are inconsistent with the laws that are passed. So there's some small group of individuals that are coming to these conclusions about these regulations, and then they're being railroaded through because of the way the Taxicab Commission does it. It says that here's our regulation, and it goes into effect within 60 days, and we're here from your comment. Unless we change it, it becomes effective. This process has to be turned around. That's a flawed process. You hear from the community first. You hear from the taxicab drivers first. And then you come together and draft regulations that you think best fit, and then you hear comments. But this is the reverse here.
Tony Norman, I wanted to follow up with a clip on a point that you mentioned earlier about now Ron Linton said he's going to be requiring anyone wishing to testify that they have to submit written testimony 24 hours in advance. Let's go to a clip and then we'll get your response.
We have, the commission has ascertained it is quite difficult to listen just to oral testimony. We do have a comment period when you do write and submit, and we get a lot of those. But we're going to enforce, after this hearing, the requirement that we receive your written testimony at least 24 hours before this hearing so we can read it, so we can be prepared to have questions for you and to make usefulness of your being here. So let me give fair warning that if we do get people who sign up and do not provide us with a written testimony in advance, they won't testify.
That was Taxi Chair Ron Linton. Tony Norman, your response?
I think this is a serious issue. I think the taxi cab drivers need to challenge that because this is clearly a pre-advance attempt and censorship. What he's basically saying, if you don't provide written testimony, you won't be allowed to testify at the hearing. Now, there is no way. We'd had over 200 taxi cab drivers that showed up, I believe, Friday. Even if every one of those taxi cab drivers submitted written testimony a day before the hearing, which is required, there's no way the commission is going to read all of that and be prepared to comment on it. That's absurd. There's no way the commissioners are going to be prepared. They can't even prepare the stuff that they have in front of their plate. How are they going to look at 200 written pieces of testimony and be prepared to respond to that person and what they have to say? This is clearly an attempt at censorship and to restrict the number of drivers to testify. I mean, the council has a rule where everyone can still come down. It is a restriction. You should be more inclusive of testimony, not exclusive. This policy that he is seeking is to exclude driver testimony. He already attempted that with saying that he has a cutoff with only 15 people or 25 people who can actually testify. So this need to be challenged immediately. Someone need to continue to try to testify, even though they haven't submitted written testimony, and have him proceed to not let them testify and challenge that, because this has to be stopped.
Michelle Chame, as someone who testifies regularly, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I have 3 points over here to raise. Number one is the hypocrisy. I see, which is contradictory to the chairman's statement and what they write under the regulations. I would like to remember the current regulations, which was really under review, or it is in common parent. I believe it is in Chapter 7. And a person who wants to complain about a taxi driver can call the taxi cab commission and orally submit his own complaint to the taxi cab commission. In this case, which is also the enforcement, the adjudication, will write down the complaint which it received orally and adjudicate. Mind you, the taxi cab driver is not allowed to submit his concern orally. That's unfair. That's not right. As it's purely a violation. And the second point is, how many of us can really deliver in writing? How many of us can really submit something that conveys the meaning what we intend to? That's another point. I'm really disappointed with this statement, and we will fight back.
Tony Norman?
I just wanted to add, this is something that needs to be raised Monday at the oversight hearing, when the taxi cab drivers go before, because this committee that Mary Che is chair of has control over that issue, and she can change that. So this issue need to be raised by cab drivers that this man is trying to censor the testimony of cab drivers by requiring this and therefore restricting the amount of people who will be allowed to testify. He knows that many of the taxi cab drivers speak English as a second language, let alone writing. So what is he going to, are they going to read testimony in Amharic if it's in written in Amharic? So these are the type of issues that need to be brought up at the hearing to Mary Che, that this is a guy who is seeking to restrict comments of taxi cab drivers by imposing this onerous regulation that he's trying to put in place.
And I think it's worth noting that on how many occasions have we showed up to taxi cab commission meetings to say that there's no quorum, you know, it doesn't start on time, people aren't ready to move forward. And so here you have a burden placed on drivers that I'm not even sure that the Taxicab Commission could itself live up to. I wanted to, Michelle mentioned concerns about oral complaints by passengers being filed and drivers not having due process. And this is an issue we touched on last week here on the Taxi Link when we had Haimanot Bizuayi, who, a board member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, was our guest. And that show and all of these shows will be archived at thefightback.org. One word, thefightback.org. And you can go there, and this show will be posted by tomorrow afternoon, and you can listen to past shows. So for any drivers who can't hear the show live, and we encourage you to spread the word, let drivers know Saturday, 7 to 8 p.m. here on WUST 1120 a.m. to tune in. Whether in Alexandria, speaking with drivers in Prince George's County this week, Montgomery County, we want to cover the region and bring driver voices forward. And we want drivers to tune in live and then also spread the word, let people know they can go to thefightback.org. Michelle, you wanted to make a point?
Yeah, I want to make one point over here. The Taxi Cab Commission used to post the transcripts of every meeting, including the testimonies from the cab drivers in the past. Recently, it had stopped posting those transcripts on its website. And I'm really concerned. If a cab driver goes to the Taxi Cab Commission and to be wanted to find or ask to find a piece of paper, he will not get it. But it is clearly a violation of our freedom of information to get these documents public.
I also wanted to mention that for those drivers who speak Amharic, there is a Saturday night phone conference that's been going on a couple of years now. And if you speak Amharic, this is the place to be to tune in as you're driving. Just listen with your headless wire set, your earphones, and continue the conversation to get the latest information. And I'll give out the number twice to call in. It starts, I think, 8:30-ish, 8:39. I think 8:30 is when it starts, 712-432-3100. And the code you enter once you call that number is 140465. I'll give that out one more time. Again, this is for drivers who speak Amharic. And the number is 712-432-3100, and the code is 140465. I want to go back to Wednesday's hearing, and one of the major points here is with this modern taxi system, which is kind of like the taxi smart meter system, just a different name, is to, and you heard Aurora Vasquez, co-executive director of Tenants and Workers United, discussing that Alexandria drivers are pushing for the same thing, which is the ability for drivers to select whomever they choose to be the credit card reader, the service provider, the payment service provider, the PSP. And this is, there's a lot of money at stake here, which is why you see not just it was standing room only. It was great to see so many drivers Wednesday. And you also see more suits around of late than you've recently seen. And that's because you have these major deals and the ability for to drivers to be able to choose whomever they want, whatever company they want, is very important. I think will allow for more competition and for better deals for drivers. But at Wednesday's hearing, Abebe Abadi said that if the city moves forward with a modern taxi system, which requires drivers to use an approved payment service provider, associations, companies, and independent drivers with existing multi-year contracts could end up in a lawsuit. Abadi called on the commission to provide a 5-year window for switching over to the mandated payment service providers, or to insert language clarifying that any existing contracts with PSPs would be made void upon implementation of the modern taxi system.
If the license is issued for only 1 year, which means to PSP, at the time and for any reason, he canceled the following year, or the Taxi Cab Commission canceled the following year, the companies, associations, and independent drivers could be involved in a lawsuit by early termination of their contract. I spoke to some PSPs. Most of them, they need 5 years contract. So if you cancel them within 1 year, I'll be in trouble. It would be fair to extend the license duration at least to 5 years. Otherwise, the DC Taxi Cab Commission must insert a sentence that spelled out indicates that if any PSP or MTS are suspended or revoked of their license, all contracts made would be void with companies, associations, or independent drivers. No company, association, or independent driver should be liable to early termination of their contracts.
That was Abebe Abadi, a driver, testifying Wednesday before the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission. Michelle Chami, can you comment on this? What is the importance of drivers being able to select their own payment service provider?
Well, the payment service providers are companies that are in the middle to facilitate the transaction between the customer and the driver. And on the other hand, deliver the customer surcharge was 25 cents to the government. This agreement, this contract, has to be between the two independent legal persons. That means the driver, the company, the association on the one hand, and the PSP provider on the other hand. The Taxi Cab Commission does not have to promulgate dictating the taxi cab driver to sign up or oblige or force him or her for one PSB, and it doesn't have to really deprive the driver the right to terminate this contract anytime the need arises. That's wrong. This contract has to be left to the two independent parties.
Tony Norman?
I would agree with that. That's very true, and I think that's why the taxi cab drivers need to be very diligent in on these type of issues. So that's not much I can add to that.
At Wednesday's hearing, DC Taxi Chair Ron Linton lectured CMT's Jesse Davis about the proposed 50-cent surcharge, which was initially put forward as a mechanism for paying for the taxi smart meter system, which was overturned by the courts. Despite this, Linton is moving ahead with the surcharge in an effort to move to a user fee base of operations, which would place the burden of funding the Taxi Cab Commission on drivers and passengers.
Never at any time was it intended that the surcharge would be only used for that purpose. That's a misunderstanding that was perpetrated by the media. So I want to get that one out of
just
your mind
that
right
purpose.
Now.
The original solicitation, the surcharge was to pay the PSPs.
No, in the original solicitation, the surcharge would be used to pay it.
Correct.
But it was not ever intended for the entire 50-cent surcharge or whatever the surcharge amount was to pay simply for this system. It was the total revenue.
Oh, I agree. I agree completely. I apologize if I misrepresented.
I just want that on the record clearly, yes, because there's been too much misunderstanding about it. This agency is moving to a user fee base of operation, and that surcharge is critical to replacing the amount of money that we previously had gotten from the general fund through taxation.
That was Ron Linton in exchange with CMT's Jesse Davis. The 50-cent surcharge, which was first put forward as a way to pay for the smart meter system, the smart meter system is no longer. The 50-cent surcharge continues, but Linton is saying, no, it was for a whole range of things that it was initially put forward. That's not how I remember it. Your thoughts, Tony Norman?
No, that wasn't originally how it was. I mean, that's maybe how he's evolved it to be now. Originally, it was going to pay all the expenses to install this new meter for the cab drivers. That was the purpose of it. And now, since that time, I think now the Taxi Cab Commission and the district government have decided that with the projected revenues that it may bring, maybe we can use this money for other things. So I think Linton is not being totally accurate. I think his opinion has evolved to that point now to use all of those funds for other things instead of that initially those funds for installing the new taxi cab, installing the emergency button, because apparently they were going over the fact you have to take out the entire back seat. It was a major renovation to do that, and that's why they needed this much money. So I think his position and the district government position has evolved since then. That was not their initial intent.
And as I understand it, the budget that was passed was presupposing that the smart meter system would go through and the 50-cent surcharge would go through. So now the budget line isn't there for the taxi cab commission. So they need, as I understand it, they need this 50-cent surcharge, even though the smart meter system is no longer.
That's right. That's correct. That's what he's. That's why they're trying to incorporate and say that's what we originally wanted. The money was going to be used for our budget. But that wasn't what the initial intent was. Everyone, all of the taxicab drivers, and we've heard it at the hearings when they were debating it before the council. And all once again, all of this is on record. Those funds were to be used toward installing the smart meters. And now they want to expand it into, you know, using it to operate the taxicab commission itself. That's a decision that was made in the due process of these entire proceedings.
So in order to fund the taxi commission, they need this 50-cent surcharge. And so, in essence, drivers become somewhat of a collection agency for the commission. And this was the point that you heard – Jesse Davis of CMT raising, and why Ron Linton said this is a shot over the bow. He's saying, we're not prepared as PSPs to be service providers, but to be collection agencies – who are taking money even for non-cash trips, which they have no control over, in order to fund the taxicab commission. I don't know if you have any thoughts, Michelle Chame, on this.
Well, the initial set of plan, the initial complete plan, is really big and vast to deal with here. But it has three major components. One is advertisement. The second one is the budget of the district taxicab commission. And the third one is the implementation, hardware and software expense for the coming modern taximeter system. So when the initial plan failed due to the failure of the TSMS contract, they break this 50 cents surcharge into two. The 25 cents will go to the taxi driver so that the taxi cab driver can choose his own MTS provider and help him pay. And the 25 cents goes to the taxi cab commission. So what they still don't have an answer for is they don't have an answer why they levied any amount of money as a tax on the rider. They don't have an answer. They don't have a logical answer for that. Number two is they are still insisting that this revenue has to be collected to support the budget of the commission. And I see some contradiction in the statement made by the commissioner. So that's wrong.
Will you be testifying Monday at the oversight hearing?
Yes, I will.
Well, I want to thank you, Michelle Chame. Tony, normally get your final thoughts before we turn to the interview with Cyril Crocker.
Well, once again, it shows you the importance why the taxicab drivers need to go to these hearings. I mean, clearly there's the drivers know there's something very wrong about the way Linton and the commission is operating here. You don't even have to be an attorney. Just your common sense know that a fundamental unfairness and injustice is taking place here about what he's saying with the testimonies, how he's trying to implement these new rules, even just generally how they try to implement these rules. That's why you need to show up and tell Mary Che and the council, even if she doesn't listen, at least those hearings are recorded. You can expose what's going on here. Come to the hearings and point out these particular issues that you have concerns with.
I look forward to seeing drivers Monday, 11 a.m. at the John A. Wilson Building at 1350 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. It's the D.C. Council's Committee on Transportation and the Environment. And for Alexandria drivers, Will Martin, who produces this show, is going to check out what's going on there Monday morning at the City Hall at 301 King Street in Old Town, Alexandria. That's ahead of Tuesday's vote of the Alexandria City Council. We finish with an interview with D.C. Taxicab Commission member Cyril Crocker. A lifetime resident of D.C., Commissioner Crocker worked in the office of the Deputy Mayor for Planning and Economic Development under Mayor Anthony Williams. I began by asking Commissioner Crocker about his background and why he agreed to join the commission.
I'm a lifetime resident of D.C. And care very much about the city. I'm on the commission basically because Ron Linton asked me to. I did, frankly, have some concerns before I said yes. I used to work in the Office of the Deputy Mayor for Planning and Economic Development in the Williams administration. And there was a gentleman by the name of Carlson Tony, who worked there with me, who dealt with taxicab issues, ended up being the chairman, I believe. And he used to come back from his meetings and was very rarely happy. And there were a lot of articles in the paper. And my feeling, honestly, was that a lot of times the commission was known for making bad decisions, for kind of outrageous behavior. And in this city, and particularly in the business I'm in, you're as good as your name and your reputation. And I let Ron know I did not want to be associated with any type of institution that might harm my reputation or credibility. And he said, no, Cyril, I'm trying to make changes to improve the credibility and effectiveness of the commission, and that's why I want people like you on it to do that. I like to think that I made a pretty good name for myself when I was with the government, and so I had been recommended to him and to the mayor, and he basically convinced me. And I'm holding him to it, and from what I've seen, he's kept his word. He's not everyone agrees with him all the time, but I firmly believe that Ron is trying to do the best thing for the city and all the constituents that he represents.
If you had to give the commission a grade, how long have you been on the commission now?
About, I'd say, 9 months now.
And if you had to give the commission a grade during that 8 or 9 months, so what would it be?
It would probably be a B. I'd say the effort is there. The concern is there. Commissioners take their job seriously. In our executive meetings, we actually do listen to, when we have hearings, we take input from the community, from all the stakeholders, and try to do the best we can to address their concerns. I don't think we've got it perfectly right yet, and I'm a hard person to give an A, but I think if we keep doing what we're doing, that we're moving in the right direction.
Can you talk about, you headed up the One Color effort, and I have to say it's been interesting and refreshing watching you. You take public service very seriously, and you've sat for several hours listening to driver testimony. But talk about that, the One Color effort that you headed up.
Well, the first thing that some people don't realize is that's actually the law. That council passed a law that said that there would be a uniform scheme for taxis in the district. We can't revise the law. Our job then was to execute how that would be enacted, basically, come up with what the color scheme would be. I suggested that it should not be just an administrative act, either by us or the mayor, that this was a great opportunity to take public input. One of the things when I first came on the commission, one of my concerns was that there seemed to be a relationship between the drivers and the commission sometimes that was almost adversarial. And we heard a lot of times, you aren't including us in the discussion. And I said, here's a perfect opportunity to involve the drivers and the public in something that we're mandated to do. And the chairman agreed with me and said, all right, I'm going to ask you to head this panel. You know, it was your idea, run with it. So we did. We had the public meetings. Again, I think we got a lot of really good input, and we tried to incorporate that into the decision we made. There, you know, the final details of working out how it appears in the end still have to be resolved. But that I think that was a good process, and that's the way I'd like to see things done going forward.
By listening to drivers, is one of the things that came out in the process that when you had multiple color scheme, that would add a lot of cost to drivers?
That was a comment that we got from some people, and we tried to listen to that and weigh that against, you know, basically just what we felt was our mandate to create a color scheme rather than maybe just a color period. We tried to weigh all of that, also in terms of trying to create an identity for DC cabs, which we think is what council was going after. The other thing that we heard is that a lot of companies are really wedded to their existing colors for a lot of reasons. And we know there's going to be pushback regarding that and regarding the issue you just raised about if once you add more than one color, what are the ramifications of that? Again, we take the input and then we do the best we can.
Lastly, you took a lot of input from drivers, and the commission is open to hearing from drivers, although you heard today Chairman Linton say you had to submit written testimony 24 hours in advance. But it's a little concerning how many questions get asked of the highest up in the industry versus how few questions get asked of the drivers. Do you share at all that concern?
I'm not really sure what you're getting at with the question. I think it may be related to a level of detail that's presented by some people. I mean, a lot of times industry has attorneys presenting, and you know they're going to be very, very detailed questions, very, very specific recommendations that the chairman or the commission may want to get some feedback on right on the spot. I usually treat a hearing as I'm just listening. I want to hear everything, and I'll discuss it later. I tend to ask very few questions. I think personally the one or two times that I may have asked questions, I think it was of drivers rather than of industry people. But again, it's mainly just to get a better understanding of what they're saying. And I don't think it in any kind of way reflects a level of respect for their position. So to speak, because I think we respect everyone who comes there, and we certainly appreciate everyone who comes there to testify.
Commissioner Crocker, thanks. One last question, and do you have any message for drivers? And what do you make of the profession? What are drivers, as you see it, what do they go through?
I have a lot of respect for the drivers in the city. I mean, it's not an easy living, and I'm a commercial realtor, so I'm an independent businessman too. I know what it's like to be an independent businessman. It's a choice people make, and basically you live off the efforts and your own professionalism and what you're able to do. So I think the drivers overall do a good job, and I think they need to be respected for what they're doing. I think they need to be appreciated as stakeholders. I think they also need to be aware that the commission also has to take other stakeholders into account, local passengers, tourists, everyone associated with the industry, certainly the tourist industry in D.C., the government, the reputation of the district, all that gets taken into account. And that's what makes it a difficult and an interesting profession.
That begs one follow-up question. A lot of drivers say the tourist industry and the hospitality industry in particular have too much influence. Do you see them having a great deal of influence?
I think they do have a lot of influence. I would not characterize it as too much necessarily. But, again, understand with me personally that although I've lived in the district all of my life, although I've always respected cab drivers, the issues before the commission are a little bit more detailed, and I have a learning curve. So I'm learning more each month that I'm on the commission, each month that I'm here, and gaining an appreciation of issues like that. But I do think the one thing that there's influence, but then I think transparency is a word that gets overused a little bit right now, but I think as long as we're transparent with everyone, people can see what we're doing, then they'll know whether or not anyone is having undue influence. And I don't think there's undue influence, and that's the key, is that no one should have undue influence.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Crocker.
That's D.C. Taxi Cab Commission member Cyril Crocker. This is The Taxi Link. The show is engineered by Mark Taylor, produced by Will Martin, co-hosted by Tony Norman, and archived at thefightback.org. Till next week.
This is NIH Health Matters. I'm Joe Balintfi. Primary care doctors rely on patients to share information on what they feel or are able to do as they are dealing with health conditions or chronic diseases. This feedback or data is called patient-reported outcomes.
Those are the outcomes that we as patients know best, because we know ourselves the best.